On Friday's program, Chuck Swindoll quoted the late entertainer Lucille Ball, who offered her tongue-in-cheek philosophy on aging. Lucy said the secret to staying young is to live honestly, to eat slowly, and to lie about your age. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck will offer a far better alternative than falsifying one's age. We're looking at a passage in Joshua chapter 14, where we find two Old Testament patriarchs modeling courageous leadership. Caleb and Joshua were powerful leaders well into their golden years. Chuck intends that their secret was an attitude of fortitude. We begin with prayer.
Lord, on several occasions, even this morning, we have sung of passing through the waters and going through the fire. And the waters will not be over our heads, and the fire will not burn us. These symbolic pictures of testing and trials. And some sitting in this very room today have the scars to prove they've been through the fire. And the vivid memories of the waters that almost overwhelmed them. How faithful you are, Lord, to meet us at every one of life's contingencies. How caring and accepting, how full of grace and mercy. It is of your mercies that we are not consumed, because your compassions fail not. They are fresh and new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Lord, minister to us as a congregation. Soften the soil of our souls as we walk through this upcoming weekend of dedication. Make us again and again grateful as you bring tears of remembrance to those of us who have been with this ministry since its beginning. So many of us. Thank you for all you have done to raise up this statement of testimony on this piece of land in the heart of this growing community. Lord, in a very special way, guard us from all the things that encroach upon authenticity and freshness of worship and meaningful, deep relationships. Free us from stupid religious habits and acts of hypocrisy that we perfect the longer we get away with them. Keep us real. Use us not only in these walls, but even more significantly outside this place, in a world that's lost its way, in a culture that's long since determined its future. And now, Father, minister in a special way in the lives of children being cared for at this moment, and our youth, adults from the other service as they're being ministered to. We pray that your word will find soft and permanent lodging as these your people of all ages gather with one another. And may the life of Caleb be relived again and afresh. And give us the courage to think of ourselves in his sandals, so that he is no longer print on a page, but again alive in his spirit in us. Lift the hearts of the aging, those who are disturbed over some issue, the anxious, the oppressed, the burdened. And may we feel again the fresh enthusiasm of a man who fully followed the Lord his God. In the name of Jesus, we express these thoughts. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude.
So they have come to the place where the land is theirs, and they are parceling the land out to those in various tribes among the Hebrews. And Joshua gets to Judah, the tribe of Judah, and he meets the one who represents the tribe in verse 6, named Caleb. And he talks with Caleb about this responsibility, the opportunity to get the land. And Caleb's answer is set forth in verses 6 through 14, and that's what attracts our attention. Let's look at his younger years. He's looking back. At 85, he's reflecting back to when he was 40. And he reminds Joshua of what life was like then, and in light of that, what he wants to do now with the rest of his life. And he says to Joshua, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless," and now he refers to the 10 spies who brought back the negative report, "my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I follow the Lord my God fully." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "The land on which your foot has trodden surely shall be your inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." I want you to hold your place here. Just put your finger there and go back to Numbers chapter 13. Familiar territory for us, but I just want to review a few scenes so you'll remember what Caleb remembers as he goes back with Joshua to those earlier years. Look at Numbers 13, verse 6. We'll identify Caleb from the tribe of Judah. Caleb was chosen. He's one of the tribes. Moses sent them out, verse 17, to spy out the land of Canaan. Remember that? Go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is like. And so they went, they stayed 40 days, and then verse 25, Numbers 13, 25, they returned. They returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. They proceeded to come to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation. Verse 26 concludes, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit from the land. It must have been a great moment. People who have been eating manna so long they could gag are now looking at wonderful, fresh, luscious fruit. Must have been wonderful. And they told them as they stood there with the fruit, "We went into the land," verse 27, "it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit." Now, that is marvelous. That is a great moment if they had just stopped there. Or if they'd have said, "Caleb, what do you think we ought to do?" But they didn't. The next verse tells us that they were afraid. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." And the 10 spies looked at these and checked out their size, looked at themselves and felt like grasshoppers. They looked at their fortified cities and they remembered their tents. And suddenly they discounted everything that God said and they realized only what their innards were saying. It's impossible. Verse 29, "Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites, the Amorites. They're all living in the hill country. The Canaanites are living by the sea." And I mean, we are just outnumbered. They're just too many. Caleb said, "Stop. By the way, where's Joshua?" Joshua is the one who gets chosen to be Moses' successor, but Caleb speaks when Joshua stays quiet. I mean, if it had been both of them together, it would have said Joshua and Caleb, would have even named Joshua first. But Caleb, all by himself, quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." These 10 people are focused on the facts. They've forgotten the God of the territory. Caleb was focused on God. He knew the facts. I mean, they couldn't take Jericho, to say nothing of whip all the people in the land of Canaan. They knew that. Caleb knew it. But verse 31 continues, "The men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.'" Caleb is going, "Oh, brother, we know that. We knew that coming in. Obviously, they're too strong." So verse 32 says, "They gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report." Look at it. That's what it says. A bad report. Next chapter. "And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation. 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land?'" Retreat! That's the secret. Let's go back to Egypt. Isn't that a great thought? Let's go back to Egypt. Verse 4, "So they said to one another, 'Let's appoint another pastor, another leader, and let's return to Egypt.'" Let's go back. Let's go back. Finally, verse 6, Joshua gets the courage along with Caleb, and they tear their clothes and they speak to the people saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is a good land." Look at verse 8. Look at the focus. "The Lord, if he's pleased with us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us." Verse 9, "Don't rebel." Verse 9, "Don't fear." End of verse 9, "The Lord is with us. Don't fear them." Boy, there's a sermon to preach right there. Same obstacles, same problems, same concerns, except two people saw the Lord so clearly that it didn't even faze them how many people or even how large they were or how fortified the city. Hey, if it takes a fortified city, we need a fortified courage, a fortified attitude. Interesting, isn't it, that none of the 10 spies are ever written up later on as being men of reality. They knew the truth. You know what happened to those guys? Well, they dropped like a sack of salt in the wilderness. Every one of them died when the Lord judged them because they didn't have the faith to walk into the impossibilities. When will we learn? We'll learn from Caleb. Joshua 14. Caleb says, "Back when I was 40 years old, those giants were so little. My God was so big." And by the way, look at verse 10. "Now behold, the Lord has let me live these 45 more years." So 40 years of wandering, 1 year for every day they were spying out the land, while they bury all of the old guys and gals, and all the old generation dies off, and now the new generation comes in, and Caleb remembers back, and he says, "You know, the Lord was right there with me the whole time." All the way through, he continues to walk with his God. He continues to trust him. By the way, this is a great moment for me to say to any one of you who has been overlooked for now, relax. Get a life. Those people picking know what they're doing. You're not qualified, or you're not the choice. Why, you weren't chosen. It's okay. God isn't dead. There is tomorrow. There'll be another time. There'll be your moment. You may be 85, but that's God's choosing. That's how he does it. It's great. I mean, it's either that or God is almost sovereign. It's one of the few mistakes he's made is when they overlooked me for the job I should have had. Relax. Learn from Caleb. Jean Getz writes, "How easy it is to become jealous and resentful when other Christians receive more attention than we do, especially when we feel we deserve it as much as they. To be faithful behind the scenes is difficult, but it's the true test of character." Some of you are behind the scenes. And let's face it, you're mature enough to be in front, but you're not. You're not for a reason. God knows the reason. He has you where he's got you, fully aware that you're capable of doing more. But it's all part of your preparation. It's all part of it. Prove yourself a faithful woman or man of God, just like Caleb, and follow him fully. Now it gets exciting. I love verses 10, 11, and 12. Here's an 85-year-old guy talking about the future. "Now, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 more years, from the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I am 85 years old today." May have been his birthday. May have been the very day he turned 85. "I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, for going out, for coming in." It's a colloquialism for fighting, for being involved in life, and for coming in to take counsel. It's the give and take of life. "I'm just as alert as I was 45 years ago." And this is great. "Now give me this hill country." Oh, man. Texans love verses like verse 12. "This hill country." Now, it's funny when you talk to Texans. They talk about the mountains. Look, folks, we don't have any. Let's just face it. This is mountains. I thought I was fading all of a moment. Knock it off, son. Now. Forgot my stuff here all of a sudden. He says, I'm ready for whatever. There's giants there. I'll take the giants. There's fortified cities. I'll take the fortified cities. When's the last time you said anything near that? You say, "Well, Chuck, if you knew the life I've had to live." I don't care. You know, nobody cares, okay? We don't care. What we care about is you're making everybody else miserable because all you can do is lick the wounds of how bad you've had it. Cry me a river. Get past it. Let's get on with life. I said to Cynthia, I've tried to find a story that would really tell it well, and I came across this great biography of Theodore Roosevelt. It's called Carry a Big Stick by George Grant. I'll tell you, it'll put lead in your pencil. I mean, it is terrific. Listen to some of these things. Roosevelt's passion for life was infectious. Everything about him tingled with zest and vitality. He approached every circumstance and situation with consummate gusto and enthusiasm. As a result, children loved him. He had a flair for the dramatic and the heroic. He lived life in perpetual motion. Adults were often struck utterly speechless in his presence. His energies were often incomprehensible and always irrepressible. When he was president, he took visiting dignitaries on his point-to-point rambles and romps through Rock Creek Park. Setting a blistering pace, he would cut a beeline course, climbing over, wading through, cutting under, swimming across whatever crossed his path. This is the President of the United States. I love it. Washington observers were always amused by the sight of the great man charging ahead while his guests were desperately struggling to keep up with him. Once while hiking and climbing in the Adirondacks, he had a Secret Service agent, lower him with a rope around his ankles into a wide gorge so he could take a close-up photograph of a bird's nest. But when the agent tried to pull the president back up the cliff, He was unable to manage. Impatient, Roosevelt yelled to the man, "Just cut the rope!" Horrified, the agent refused. There was a 30-foot drop between the president and the rushing water below. "Cut the rope!" Roosevelt screamed. By this time, the agent was panic-stricken. He could think of nothing to do. So the president took matters into his own hands and cut the rope himself. He plunged into the icy waters below, terrified. The agent scrambled down a trail to the bottom of the gorge to discover the president lying at the water's edge, half conscious, cut, bruised, soaked to the bone, laughing hysterically. The great man looked up at him, smiled a big, toothy grin, and said, "My, wasn't that just bully?" In another place, a man named Jacob Riis visited Roosevelt at the governor's residence in Albany. He was taken to the basement where the great man was getting a shave and a haircut. In order to keep busy, he was straddling a lap desk across his knees so he could catch up on his correspondence while getting a haircut. Simultaneously, he had three secretaries around him to whom he was dictating in alternating paragraphs. To one, he was composing the final chapters of his biography on Oliver Cromwell. To the other, he was outlining portions of his upcoming legislative agenda. To the third, he was drafting a speech he would deliver later that afternoon, all while writing on his lap and receiving a shave and a haircut. His guest could hardly believe his eyes, so he asked him how he could possibly do so much at once. Roosevelt shrugged and responded, he was simply trying to make the most of his time. Are you somewhere in that story, or are you light years away? What are you doing with the rest of your life? What are you doing worried about age or when everybody else retires? I went to my library and I found a great book on how to reach 100 by George Burns. And I thumbed through it and didn't find anything I could use in the pulpit that would be appropriate for this moment. So I read a portion of it to Cynthia, and she said, "Don't you dare use that. Don't you dare use that." So I don't dare use that. But it's a hilarious book if you ever want to read it. So I chose rather Douglas MacArthur at age 75. When he turned 75 on his birthday, this was his philosophy on aging. "In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, and courage, so long are you young. But when the wires are all down and your heart is covered with the snows of pessimism and the ice of cynicism, then and only then have you grown old."
Well, we're just midway through Chuck Swindoll's presentation. And it's important that you come back tomorrow to hear the conclusion. He's titled this study in Joshua 14, "The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude." If you missed any portion of this current series, find it again online at insightworld.org. And if it's not feasible to be with us next time, remember you can subscribe to the daily podcast of Insight for Living and listen at your convenience. And as an added resource, Chuck has provided daily study notes for you. You can easily access his free Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. In fact, the interactive tools for the entire series, Changing Wanderers into Worshipers, is available right now, all 16 parts. Again, go online to insightworld.org/studies. Now, if it's a daily devotional you're looking for, let me point you to the book Chuck has written called "Good Morning, Lord, Can We Talk?" Filled with daily insights from Chuck, this is perfectly suited for your quiet times during the new year. And you'll find all the details about purchasing a copy by going to insight.org/morning. This daily program and all the related resources are made possible in part through the faithful gifts of our monthly companions. January is the perfect time to begin the new year with a 12-month commitment to this cause. And we'd love to have you join in this important role. A monthly companion is someone who resonates with our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ and wants to partner with us. You set the amount tailored to your desire and ability. If you're listening in the United States, you can become a monthly companion right now by giving us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about maintaining an attitude of fortitude, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.